Welcome to the 13 Skulls Podcast, episode number 6.
No one knows just who he is. Like all the doors put away the kids. With the pitchfork in his hand, he's the pitchfork man. He's hiding in the bushes, in the grass and dirt. He waits for mom and dad to go to work. He sees them leave and he starts to grin. He opens up a window and he lets himself in. He barricades the doors, both front and back. Strips naked, he's ready for attack. With a pitchfork in his hand, he's a pitchfork man. Hiding upstairs, you better watch out. He's your worst nightmare. He sees a little.
All right, well, thanks for everybody for coming in and joining me today. I really appreciate seeing everybody show up and, you know, all the support that's been given. If you have been waiting for the show to come out, I apologize. It's just been a busy past few weeks for me, and it's been hard to get the show together. But the first few things that I'd like to get out of the way is that I know some of you in the past have, wanted to call in, and for some reason the phone line's been, you know, inactive. It has changed yet one more time. I apologize for it, but for some reason the numbers keep going inactive on me. The new call-in line is 206-339-9417. That's 206-339-9417. Hopefully this line will stay active for a long time. I don't really know. I'm hoping it will, but we'll see. You know, you never know. I might just have to change the number every month. I don't know. If you'd like to, send me an email or, you know, write out, you know, your criticisms or feedback or any stories that you have or anything like that, you can shoot me an email at the13skulls@gmail.com. And I'd also like to say that it's a brand new month again, so if you guys would like to vote for this show on Podcast Alley, please do so. I would really appreciate the support. There's links to vote for the show in the right sidebar of both the13skulls.com and the13skulls.podomatic.com. So please show your support and give us a vote. I'd also like to say thank you to DK, Fizz, and Oleon out there at the Erie Radio Show. Those guys have actually brought me on partially to do a little news segment for their show. It's been kind of fun for me. It's only about a 5 or 10 minute news segment of, you know, the newest headlines in, you know, in the previous week. So if you'd like to check me out on there, go to www.erieradio.com. Also, I'd like for you just to go to there and check out their show. They have a great paranormal show that covers some really good topics. The sound quality is really good, you know, and they just, it's just a good show. They've come a long way since I first started listening to them, but it's been good ever since, you know, the beginning. It's the first time I saw them or, you know, read, you know, their, you know, their site and listened to their show. But go there and, support them, get listen to their show and, you know, give them some feedback. Just, give them a listen. It's guys out at Erie Radio and, you can check me out on there doing the news segment too. So go to www.erieradio.com and, give those guys a give them some support too. Also, I'd like to say thanks to Neil out at the Ghostly Gateway. It's a new search engine that I found recently, which is, you know, to me, it's a good one because you don't really get a lot of the crap that you get in a lot of search engines whenever you do a search. You actually get relevant topics to what you're trying to find, you know, if you're doing some research or just curious about something. It's the Ghostly Gateway. It's at ghostlygateway.co.uk. And, I was going to put a search bar on all of my pages at the13skulls.com. And for some reason it didn't work. The coding, I don't know if I put it in there wrong or whatever, but I got a hold of Neil and I let him know what was going on. And, he sent me the new code for the search box and for the logo for their banner. And for doing that, he put my link, my banner up on almost all of his pages on, you know, Ghostly Gateway, which is extremely nice of Neil. I just really want to say thanks to him for doing that. But if you guys need to search, you know, for something, if you're curious about something of the paranormal, go to ghostlygateway.co.uk and, you know, use their search engine. It's a good one. Also, if you were at the 13skulls.com and you wanted to search for something too, I've put the search box on all of the pages. So no matter what page you're on, the archive notes page, the Frapper Matt page, the homepage, whatever, you can find their search box on there and, you know, and do your searching from there. But again, just want to say thanks to Neil out at the Ghostly Gateway for, you know, the support. And, you know, it's actually driven quite a few listeners and quite a few visits to my homepage. So thanks to him for that. The first real topic that I wanted to discuss today was the Battle of Los Angeles, which is also a Rage Against the Machine album, which I don't know if this has anything to do with that, but anyway, it's the Battle of L.A. It happened in California, obviously, in 1942 on February 25th at 2:25 a.m. CBS did a news radio report with Brian Palmer as a reporter on the 26th about what had happened there. The LA Times took a photo, which you can see, which is the photo for the show today. It was posted on the 26th of February as well. The military fired almost 1,500 rounds at the object when it was, when it was flying over, and some of them were direct hits onto it, but it didn't do anything to whatever it was that was flying. The military first said that the object was a weather balloon, but then they said that they were firing at nothing. I'll put a link up to it in the show notes. You can also go and check out the video of the CBS reporter and look at it, listen to it, watch it, you know, read the article. Let me know what you think. You personally, I thought it was interesting that there was something like that happened over L.A. I mean, that they would open up 1,500 rounds in an object flying over. Now, granted, this was in 1942, so. You know, with all of the, you know, the wars and stuff going on back then, you know, it's just, I can understand the paranoia of thinking that, you know, one of our enemies at the time was spying on us or, you know, something along those lines, or maybe that even, you know, that people were just scared of alien invasions or whatever. I'm not really too sure why there was such a big hullabaloo over it, but anyway, go check out the video and and let me know what you think about the Battle of L.A. Now, in episode number 5, I was talking about chemtrails right at the end of the episode, and you know, for me, chemtrails, it's hard to really know what they are, but I do think that there is some correlation between chemtrails and the weather and you know, allergies and people's mindsets. You know, I think there's a lot to do with it. But recently, in between episode number 5 and now, I got a call in from Soli J, and he was talking about chemtrails, and this is what he had to say.
What's up, TJ? It's Soli J here. First of all, I want to let you know that episode 5 was real good. You got the music volume perfected and everything, so keep up the good work. So you mentioned something about chemtrails on your latest episode, and I couldn't agree more. And at first I thought I was the only one, you know, that was making a connection between the weather patterns and the chemtrails. Well, I mean, I know because I live real close to you, and I've taken quite a few pictures with my cell phone of chemtrails. I'll provide you with those, and you can share them with everybody on the show notes. On one of the pictures, you can even see four different chemtrails overlapping. It's kind of crazy, man. That's just insane. And that means that, you know, four different airplanes passed by there and crossed paths within minutes, or it was just one going back and forth. It's crazy. You'll see what I mean once you see the pictures. But I believe, you know, that there's something going on with the chemtrails? Hell yes, man. Something's going on, but what it is, we know we're not sure. I think it could be pesticides to kill the bees or something, or maybe they're just playing with the weather, man, playing God. Who knows? I'll have to look into it before saying any more. But that's all I got to say, TJ. I just got back from my trip to Roswell, and I'm pretty tired. But you should hear the audio clip from my trip at www.soleyj.podomatic.com. And it's only about 12 minutes long, and it's pretty noobish, man. I'm not good with this whole editing stuff, so if you can endure amateur recording that long, go for it. So yeah, man, keep up the good work, and we're all waiting for episode 6. See ya.
Well, Jay, I'm glad you're all waiting for episode number 6. I'm glad I actually have some supporters out there, but episode 6 is finally here. As far as how it sounds, dude, it sounds good. The editing's great. I liked it. But you're right. I mean, you're not the only one that's thinking that stuff about chemtrails. I've heard quite a few people that think that. So I'm glad that I'm not alone, and you know, I'm glad you're not alone with thinking that as well. And you're right. It could be pesticides. It could be, you know, the government trying to play God, which really would not surprise me at all. I mean, it could be them trying to control the weather. It could be anything. I don't think we'll ever really truly know for sure. But I took a listen to your audio, and you know, I really liked what you had to say about Roswell and you know, Stanton Friedman and everything. It was pretty cool. I'd like to go out there myself and visit Roswell. But y'all should go out, everybody out there should go out and check out what Soli J had to say about his trip to Roswell, because, I mean, me personally, I think that'd be one of the places I'd like to visit before I die. I do think that there's a lot more to the chemtrails than we all really think, because it's not really something that a lot of people pay attention to. You might see them, but they don't really think much more than that. I personally think that there's a lot more to them than what meets the eye. So, again, Jay, thanks for calling in. I really do appreciate, you know, you've been giving me more support than just about anybody else. So I just wanted to say thanks to you for calling in and all the support. So thanks a lot, Jay. All right, well, to kind of change the whole subject matter here a little bit, I wanted to tell you guys about a dream that I had a long time ago. I believe dreams, I think some of them are fleeting. They just kind of come and go. It's your mind just kind of trying to take up time while you're asleep. I also believe that some dreams, you know, there's a lot more to them than what you think. I think that dreams could possibly be foretelling future events to be that are going to happen. It also could just be that you know, the dreams are premonitions. Could be anything. But either way, not many dreams that I've experienced throughout my life, because I don't dream a whole lot, but I do dream, you know, some. I just don't dream a whole lot to actually remember them. But I've only had one dream in my entire life that I actually remembered, you know, for in vivid detail for a long period of time. Now, I'm 31 years old right now, and I had this dream back when I was in my early teens. I mean, like 13, 14, 15, somewhere around in that area. I can't really remember. But basically, it just made me start to, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. For some reason, this dream came into my mind again. You know, I was thinking about it and how strange it is that I can remember this dream as vividly as it was the time that I dreamt it. Now, what made this dream so weird, it's not necessarily that I had the dream, it's for how the dream happened and for how long it happened. Now, this dream I had every single night for a month, or right around a month. But the funny part about the dream is that the first few nights, it was just, you know, it was just a short part of it. Every night, progressively, the dream got longer. It would start in the exact same place with the exact same situation. Nothing was different. But every single night, I'd progress a little further into the dream. The dream basically was this. Would start out, it was at night, and I'm from Virginia. There's, you know, a good amount of mountains that way. And I was on this dark dirt road, and, you know, it kind of curved off to the left and went down and went through, like, the middle of a, you know, in between two ridges of a mountain. And I could see the other ridge off in the distance, and it was dark, clear night, wasn't anything, you know, scary, really, other than the fact that it was dark. I would start standing there is where, you know, where the dream would begin. And every night I would progressively walk further and further down this road. And it would be the same steps, the same sequence, everything. But every night I would wake up just a little further into the dream. But I don't know how many days it was into it. But eventually I got far enough to where the road that I was on was basically that was gone. The road would stop, and then, you know, way off in the distance, you could see the road start again. But what I mean by the road stopping was basically it looked like a landslide had happened and wiped out that part of the road. So the road just stopped like a cliff, and then it started back up, you know, a good ways away. Well, the scariest part of the dream, really, and I guess it really wasn't all that scary until this part happened. Really, I would start at that one spot on the road, and I would progressively walk further and further and further until I got to the end of this road. And I would try to climb on the side of the mountain to get to the other side of the road. And eventually I would make it further and further and further. But I got to one point where all of a sudden I started to fall. And I fell off the side of the mountain and was falling and falling. And you know how that feeling of just your stomach going into your chest, you know, that feeling of your heart dropping into your stomach, you know, that type of thing. I got that feeling, and I was falling and falling and falling. And as soon as I hit the ground, I would wake up. And as soon as I got to the point where I would hit the ground, that's whenever I stopped having the dream. So I started having the dream. I'd walk a little down the road, and walk a little further down the road the next night, a little further down the road the next night, get to the end of the road, you know, night after night after night. I mean, just constantly until the very last night, I slipped off the side of the mountain, and as soon as I hit the road, I died, I guess. I'm not really sure exactly what that was supposed to represent, but as soon as I hit the ground, I woke up. Well, the kind of messed up part about this is I remember shortly, just one little part after I woke up, that I really had actually seen myself hit the ground and was kind of seeing above myself. Now, for whatever that means, I don't know what that dream really represented. It was kind of a crazy dream, and the funny part is that it lasted for almost a month, and I had it every single night, and it progressively got longer. Has anybody else out there, any of you, actually had a dream similar to this? Not necessarily the same situation of being on a mountain or anything like that, but has any of you actually had a dream that you've had every single night that progressively got longer, or anything to you know, to compare to that? Just thought I'd tell you guys about that. You know, I've never forgotten about this dream. I can't forget about it, and I have this mental image of a dark mountain in my head that I just can't get away. But anyway, we'll go ahead and kind of slow down and end that. If anybody's actually had an experience like that, you know, let me know, because I find dreams to be strange, to say the least. I don't know how. I mean, I know that it's your subconscious or whatever, but dreams are just weird to me because it's not really you. I mean, to me, going to sleep and waking up is a blink of an eye. You just happen to remember the dreams or not remember the dreams. I don't remember my dreams or know that I'm dreaming at the time. Anyway, so I won't go off any too much more on this. If any of you, you know, have a comment about that dream, or if you've ever had an experience like that yourself, you know, send it in. Let me know about it. I'd love to hear it. All right, now this next thing that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of UFO.whipnet.org, and it's an Apollo 20 mission video of a supposed alien ship that's on the moon. Now, supposedly there was no Apollo 20 mission, that it was supposedly canceled, But this video is supposed to be from the Apollo 20 mission. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if the government sent up missions that they didn't tell everybody about, that they sent up missions that we as the public just don't know about. And this video is, it's kind of hard to watch. The audio is kind of crappy, and the visual doesn't really get good until about halfway or so. But supposedly the video is of the Apollo 20 on its approach to land on the moon when it spots an alien ship. Now, the alien ship looks like it's been there forever, for a really long time, like it hasn't moved in a really long time. But the video itself is, you know, it's not the best video in the world. It's kind of hard to watch. The audio is bad, but it's a good video. And the reason I say it's a good video is because it looks like it would be extremely hard to fake. If it is a fake, somebody did a really good job of making it look like it was, you know, real, because it's so not perfect. Let me put it that way. A lot of people who fake stuff try to make it look perfect. Well, this is far from being perfect, but it's a good video. Again, I'll you know, there'll be links to it in the show notes. I might actually even put the video on the website. Go to it, check it out, watch the video for yourself, and give me your opinion on it. Because me, I think it looks like a really good video. It looks great. It's, you know, it, like I said, it's kind of rough video, and you know, the audio is not so great, but it does have subtitles, and even then the subtitles are kind of hard to read. But it's a good video because it looks like it really could be real. They even talk to the astronauts, I guess, who were talking back with Houston or whoever it is that they're talking to. You know, they even talk about seeing what looks to be like shiny metal fragments around. So maybe it crashed into the moon. Maybe it's just been there for a million years and, you know, it's just falling apart. Who knows? But really, I mean, it's a good video. So go check it out. It's the Apollo 20 alien ship on the moon. So go check it out. And, you know, if you got any info or feedback or anything like that on it, you know, let me know about it. All right, well, this next thing that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of UFOarea.com. It's basically a video that was supposedly shot by the Mexican Air Force. They filmed 11 unidentified flying objects over, you know, I'm guessing over Mexico. Supposedly they were filmed on March 5th, and that the objects were flying at about 3,500 meters or 11,480 feet. And supposedly they surrounded one of the Air Force jets as it was doing some anti-drug, search. I guess they were, you know, doing, you know, their job, trying to keep drugs off the streets, whatever. But oddly, only three of the 11 objects actually showed up on their radar. They got them on infrared video. It's pretty good. They actually track them. This is actually part of, I believe it's Fox News is the one that's showing this, and they talk about it. It's pretty good. The video, you know, again, it's infrared, so it doesn't give you a whole lot of detail, but you can pretty much tell that it doesn't really look like, you know, any typical aircraft that you would normally see. Now, it could be. It could just be that, you know, there were lights off of a plane or helicopter or something like that. Now, at certain points, they actually look like headlights. There's one section where there's two lights side by side, and as they were driving or flying by, I guess, it looks like they go in front of clouds, which definitely, you know, it's not like a car, but that they look like headlights. They do a couple of, they do an interview with, you know, somebody trying to explain what they could be or whatever, but there's one section that's kind of black and white about, I don't know, halfway through or so, where you can get some scale detail, three-dimensional wise, with the objects in between the plane and, or I'm sorry, they're flying with a mountain in between the plane and, or I guess what's supposed to be the plane and the objects flying themselves. So, you know, it's something up in the air. It's just a matter of, you know, really knowing, you know, what it is. You can't, like I said, it's infrared, so you can't really tell any real detail on it. I mean, it's good video because it shows a lot of them. Now, there is one section that shows, you know, what looks to be the all 11 of them, but you can't really see what they are. They just look like balls of light flying through the air. So, these are the Mexican Air Force pilots spotted 11 unidentified flying objects and got them all on film. So I'll provide links to the video in the show notes so you can go check it out and let me know what you think. Well, there's another video that I wanted to talk about that's also courtesy of UFOarea.com, and it's basically about invisible UFOs that can only be seen in the infrared, and it basically talks about Trevor James Constable, who actually photographed the UFOs in infrared, and his photos, you know, they're kind of grainy. You can't really tell what they are, but they're supposed to be critters, or at least that's what they were called, is critters. And they can't be seen by the naked eye, and that they can only really be seen by infrared film. And, I mean, it's a good little video. It's only about maybe, 8 or 10 minutes long. And, it gives you some video, a few little, interviews with people and how they set up two different cameras side by side, one in infrared or nighttime video and one in daytime regular video, but they were set up side by side recording the exact same thing at the exact same time, and they put the video side by side, and you can clearly see that in one of them there's something hovering in the sky and one of them there's not. So obviously filming in infrared really does make a difference, so you can actually see some things. Maybe it's the only way that you can see the invisible stuff. Well, as you're watching these two videos, they actually show the one video, or the one little object that's hovering in the sky just disappears. It just fades away. So it makes you wonder what it is. I mean, obviously there could have been something wrong with the camera. There could have just been some kind of anomaly with the electronics, something. Me personally, I think that, maybe it's our way of actually seeing something that's been cloaked or something that isn't visible to the naked eye that we can only see in the infrared, which is obviously what they're proving that can be done. But it also gives you some NASA footage, too, of what could be some kind of biological entity. I mean, it looks almost like it could be like a giant jellyfish or something. It's kind of an odd shape to it, but it shows you some NASA footage, and one of them has a little black dot in the middle, and it looks like it's pulsing. I mean, it actually looks sort of like a jellyfish. I mean, they show several different clips, of these strange critters, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. It also does go, again, over just a short little section over the Battle of LA, which is what we started out here with. But anyway, go check out the how they are discovering that. Well, this is way back in the 50s, but go check out the video and let me know what you think about the invisible UFOs. All right, well, this next video that I wanted to talk about actually is coming from YouTube. It's an ABC News video of what is supposed to be a ghost that was caught on a security camera video. And, it almost, the video itself is really, it's a security camera video. It's not going to be that great of footage. I've heard a few different people talk about it, and some of them say that it really does look like it's a ghost. There's this image. I mean, you see the video of, this car lot. There's a bunch of cars sitting there, and you see this kind of faded entity. It almost looks like just the upper torso of a body with its legs kind of faded away, but it does, like, it kind of hovers above cars and kind of flows around in a circle. But at the same time, I mean, it could be real, but at the same time, they're saying that it could be, a ghost looking for its car. I mean, which, kind of a silly explanation if you ask me, but to me, it almost looks like somebody could be holding like a little G.I. Joe soldier in front of the camera on a string and just kind of maneuvering it around. It's kind of hard for me to believe that it's real. It just doesn't, it's not real compelling evidence just because it doesn't last for very long. There's not much there. I mean, it's compelling. It made me, you know, bring it up in the show. So obviously, you know, I thought it was fairly interesting, but at the same time, I mean, is it a ghost? Is it really a ghost wandering around a car lot? I mean, is it a G.I. Joe soldier little, you know, action figure that somebody decided to, you know, put on a string and try and make a ghost video? Now, they do a short little interview with a woman by the name of Kathy Henley. And supposedly, she's the one who saw the ghost on the video and reported it. Now, a lot of people do things like this just to get the attention. But go to the website, the 13skulls.com, and check out the link to the security camera ghost video, and let me know if you think it's a real ghost or if you think that possibly somebody just threw a G.I. Joe or some kind of a little action figure up on a string and tried to hoax us all. All right, well, there's another video that I wanted to talk about called The Gray's Agenda. It's about a 45-minute long video. I guess it's kind of like a movie, I guess, if you wanted to call it that. But it basically talks about the Grays, the aliens, the big-headed, no-mouth, big-eyed, aliens that are supposedly, abducting people. It's a really good video. It shows a lot of really good stuff. I mean, it talks to some ufologists like Jason Martell, and talks to a few abductees, and it's a good video. I mean, it does it goes into talking about the government and conspiracies and things like that. But it's a good video. Like I said, it's about 45 minutes long, and it's kind of a long video to watch, but it talks about the Roswell incident and talks about all kinds of different stuff. It talks to paranormal investigators. I'm not sure if this aired actually on some cable channel or something like that. I guess it might be the History Channel from what I'm seeing. But it's a good video. It talks to a lot of different people. It really goes through, it even talks to Betty Hill, of the Betty and Barney Hill incident from basically the original, UFO abduction. But anyway, it's a really good video. Like I said, it's about 45 minutes long. They talk to, a bunch of different people with a bunch of different ideas about UFOs. It actually has some really good footage of real UFOs, or supposed to be. But anyway, it's a really good video. It actually kind of gives you even descriptions of the Grays. I mean, they're about the size of a 12-year-old kid, 5'5", 80 pounds, 80 to 100 pounds, really long arms, and they're just kind of an odd creature to see. Go check out the video and let me know what you think. I'll post it up on the website, and watch The Grays Agenda and let me know if you've ever actually been abducted by one of the Grays. Shoot me an email and let me know. All right, well, coming from UFOarea.com again is the Nebra Sky Disk. And the Nebra Sky Disk is supposedly from the Bronze Age, or the Nebra Sky Disk, or the Sky Disk of Nebra, is one of the earliest known calendars and the first true representation of the cosmos. So says UFOarea.com. It says the Nebra Sky Disk is decorated with symbols of the moon, sun, and stars. It's been suggested that this old artifact represents 3,600 years of astronomical knowledge. However, there are doubts that the Nebra Sky Disk was used by prehistoric astronomers as a precision tool for gazing the sky. The Nebra Sky Disk was actually found in 1999, and some treasure hunters were using a metal detector in Miltenberg, which I'm not sure exactly where that is. Let's see. It says that it's a small town in the district of Bergenlandkreis. I don't know if I just completely annihilated that name. But anyway, it's 112 miles southwest of Berlin. And it says that it was unearthed with some axes and swords that were dated back to 2000 BC. It says, during its unprofessional removal from the ground, the fragile disc's outer rim was considerably damaged, and one of its 32 stars was lost. It's a really interesting disc. It's kind of a pretty, like, tarnished copper bronze color. It's that green, kind of a turquoise green color with gold, well, it looks like gold or bronze, like sun and stars and moons, things like that. Looks like it's about a foot wide. There's a few good pictures of it in here. It's really interesting. Go check out the Never Sky disc and let me know what you think. Because for me, I mean, who knows what it could be? It could have just been somebody putting that stuff together because they had a fascination with the sun, moon, and stars. Who knows? But actually, maybe it was used as a calendar. I mean, who knows? There's been all kinds of versions of calendars out there because there's different ways people keep track of time. It could be astronomers used it. It could be anything. I mean, the Bronze Age, people weren't exactly stupid back then. I mean, they may not be as technically, you know, advanced as we are, but they weren't stupid. I mean, people aren't dumb. But, you know, either way, it's a fascinating piece of art, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's interesting. So anyway, go check out the Never Sky disc and, you know, let me know what you think about it. And, you know, I didn't even really think about this, but we have a lot of stuff coming from UFOarea.com. This next article is a huge not-of-this-world craft was flying through the Earth's atmosphere. Now, these are some really intriguing pictures. I talked about this on the Erie Radio Show, too, in the news segment that I did for them. And basically, it looks like some large craft are flying through a cloud layer and leaving wakes behind it. And these are really large wakes, too. And if anybody doesn't know what a wake is, if you've ever been on a lake or anything like that and you've seen a boat drive by, the waves and everything that they leave behind as they go by, those are wakes. And it basically does the same thing in the air, too. They're really cool pictures that were taken by NASA's environmental satellite, and it's really cool pictures. I mean, it actually shows many different objects flying through the atmosphere. It says here that the objects were flying around 4,000 to 6,000 miles per hour. It's really neat photographs to go take a look at, and it could be anything. I mean, it could be jetliner airplanes, you know, flying through. I mean, who knows what it could be? I mean, you don't know for sure that it's a UFO, just for the simple fact that you can't actually see what it is that's causing them. You know, there's objects there. You can tell because there's something leaving a wake in the cloud. It also says here in that it could be, you know, a few large aircraft actually, you know, like leading a mothership, you know, somewhere. Who knows? You know, it could be anything. I don't know. I'm kind of skeptical when it comes to photos like this because you don't really know what they are. I mean, it could be anything. It could be faked for all we know. It may not even be from the atmosphere. But from what I can see of it, I mean, it does look real. I think these photos would be kind of hard to fake. Anyway, go check out the wakes in the clouds that were made by supposed UFOs that were, you know, flying through the Earth's atmosphere. And, you know, let me know what you think about them. All right, well, this next thing I wanted to talk about is courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com. And it's a photo that was taken in Tennessee of a circle in the sky. And it says here that Jan Yarbrough saw the unexplained figure in the sky Wednesday night just after 8 o'clock. She grabbed her camera and snapped a series of photos. Now, a series of photos I don't know about because it's only showing one here. I don't really see any other links here to it. But anyway, it says that she grabbed her camera and snapped, you know, some photos of it. She said that she looked up in the sky and saw the thick black circle. Stayed stationary, no lights or anything like that. Stayed up there for about 20 to 30 minutes, and then it just started disappearing. It's a picture that's leaving neighbors not necessarily sold on the paranormal, but definitely open-minded. Stuff's been getting in that garden back there, but we figured it was coons. Now that it's now it might be something different. I'm sure there's an explanation that's simple, but it's just interesting, said Yarborough. Now, in the picture itself, it's kind of hard to get a judge on distance or scale as far as how big it is. Me personally, I'm a little skeptical of it just for the fact that it could be a bubble that somebody blew from one of those little, you know, bubble blowers that kids have. But at the same time, the picture, you know, it's interesting. I've never quite seen anything like this myself. It just looks like a black circle that's thicker at the top, like the top half of it is thick. And I mean, it looks like an outline of a circle. It's not solid. The inside of the circle is the same color as the sky on the outside, so it's obviously transparent. But the line of the circle is thicker at the top than it is at the bottom. And it kind of makes you wonder if maybe, you know, if maybe this is just a bubble that somebody, you know, blew themselves. I wanted to take a picture of it and say that it was some UFO. There is what looks to be in the bottom left part of the corner of the photo. Does look to be like maybe somebody's shoulder, you know, somebody else that's standing there watching this as she took the photo, which would give a little bit of credibility to the fact that it could be real, because you'd have somebody else sitting there watch it. Supposedly there were a bunch of people out there watching it, but it's saying that that it's car-sized, that the object was the size of a car. It says that it was, you know, like, again, that it was the size of a car, but is it from out of this world? I don't know. It's really hard to tell. The picture itself, you know, it's not a bad picture. It's an intriguing picture, or else I wouldn't have thrown it into the show. You guys should go take a look at it and let me know what you think about it. I want to say that if it is real, which obviously, I mean, it could be real. I mean, let me restate that. If I thought that maybe it was a UFO, then I would really have to question, you know, why is it transparent? Why are we able to see part of it but not the entire thing? It just didn't make any sense to me. But then again, you know, I'm not an expert in this field either. I'm not an expert in photo analysis. I'm not a ufologist. I don't have any credibility when it comes to that other than my own experience. But either way, you know, you guys should go and take a look at the photo, judge it, draw a conclusion of your own. If you have an opinion on what it might be other than a UFO or, you know, a bubble from some soap that somebody, you know, blew up in the sky and took a picture of it. Now, I know for a fact that a lot of people fake stuff. I mean, me personally, I've thrown rocks in the air and taken pictures of them and called them UFOs. Just to see if I could do it, just to see if I could actually, you know, do something that was like that. Now, none of them ever turned out good. You know, none of them ever turned out good enough to where you could say, you know, to somebody that it was real and they would believe me. But this photo here, you know, I'm really stuck on the fence with this one. I don't know whether to say it's real or not, just for the fact that, you know, that it could be anything. Now, it doesn't look like somebody has superimposed something into the picture, but it's, I don't know. Y'all go take a look at it and judge for yourself. And if you have an opinion on it, let me know. Well, this last thing that I wanted to talk about before we close the show out is a video of a flying humanoid that was filmed in Mexico. And it's courtesy of LiveLeak.com. I'll throw a link to it in the show notes so you guys can watch the footage yourself. It's interesting. I mean, you see this dark figure flying over top of a mountain really slow. It doesn't actually change shape or anything like that. It's really, really weird. It almost has the shape. I mean, it goes from over top to in front of the mountain. So you know that it's, you know, it's obviously there and it's moving. You can, I wish they would have zoomed in a little bit more. You could have possibly seen a little bit more detail as it was flying in front of the mountain. They did interview a couple of police officers that said they saw this humanoid and said that, you know, that they had actually come in contact with them. Soli J actually watched the video, and the one that Soli J watched didn't have any subtitles to it because it's all in Spanish. I actually found another video that that actually has subtitles for you guys out there that don't speak other languages. So but Soli J called in or left me a comment on my on the Ning Network, and said that the young looking guy in the uniform described seeing, says that she was dressed in black, had big eyes, dark skin, had a hat with a point in the back. She didn't have a broom, but was flying by herself. So obviously it could have been a witch. Then it says that his friend recounts that when he got there to help the guy, that he said he had seen a witch that had attacked him, that had left him unconscious, and they later found out that people had been seeing witches. Soli J said that to him, it looks like the balloon, you know, looks like balloons floating, but it has similarities to what Jeff Wool one is captured on video, or that the petroglyphs in the sky, which Soli J himself doesn't believe to be balloons, and I don't either. I've seen some of what Jeff Woolwine says. Now, I do have to say, Jeff Woolwine, the interviews I've heard from him, he's kind of a hard interview because he really wants to state his point and his point only, but he does have some good videos out there. I can't say that I believe everything that he's gotten, but you know, he does have some good videos out there. And anyway, the video itself is really interesting to see. None of it is really that clear, but it does look like a person. I mean, it looks like a humanoid. It looks like something that's roughly of a human shape. But it also could be that you know, we can't see the detail in the video, so maybe it possibly could be somebody with a jetpack on. You know, I've seen people with jetpacks on before, but this video, you know, I mean, it goes in front of the mountain and or this big hill. You know, it's really intriguing to see, just for the simple fact that it doesn't look like something of a human creation. I mean, it's humanoid most definitely, but I don't know. You guys are going to have to go and check out the video for yourself. Let me know what you think about the human fly or the flying humanoid that was filmed over Mexico. The video itself does give, you know, some expert opinion about what they think it could be. Me personally, I think that you know, you never know what it is. Maybe it is an alien that's visited this planet, that's exploring the planet outside of his spacecraft. I mean, I know that if humans were to visit another planet, that we wouldn't just stay inside of our ship and look around. We would get out of our ship if possible, if we had the right equipment, get out of our ship and go explore. Maybe that's what this alien's doing. Maybe this alien has some kind of technology that allows him to just float around, you know, to explore. Hey, for all I know, like the people said, maybe it is a witch. Maybe it is some kind of witchcraft that's allowing this person to fly. I mean, for ages, people have always put witches, you know, together with flying on broomsticks. I mean, it's 2007. Maybe they don't need broomsticks anymore. I don't know. But I'd love to hear some opinions on it. If you guys, want to comment on it, you can send me an email at the13skulls@gmail.com, or you can call in. The comment line is, again, it has changed. So the phone number, the new one, is 206-339-9417. You know, give me a call in, let me know what you think, or shoot me an email, or record something and send it to me. Either way, I think it is about time to start throwing this episode number 6 to a close. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to the show, for taking the time out and having the patience to wait for it to come out. I'd like to say thanks to the IOTA Promenet for the music in tonight's show. If you do like the music, you can visit them at iotaalliance.com. You can also go to the13skulls.com or the13skulls.podomatic.com. There's links there to download all of the music from tonight's show, or you can click on some of the links to actually go and buy the albums, buy the music if you'd like it, if you like it that much. Also, again, it is a new month, so if you'd like to vote for the show, please show your support for it at Podcast Alley. There's voting links on right sidebar of both websites. So, you know, go and show your support for the show. Also, please sign the Frapper map. I'd like to know, you know, where everybody's listening from, where you're visiting the show from. Again, the phone number is 206-339-9417. And I'd like to thank everybody for stopping by and listening to the show. I'm trying to have a great night or day, weekend, whatever it is that you're listening to the show. And I will talk to you again on another day. Get down.